there's two main fermentations that I like. One is the acidic fermentation, which is like apple cider vinegar. And the other is like the lactobacillus fermentation. Yes. What these things have in common is that they're alive. And you know my mantra. Everything I put in my mouth is a life or death decision. I look at something and I say, is this worthy of my consumption? Is this something that I would share with Chef Serena? Serena, how are you, love?
I'm good. How are you?
Best ever. Oh, my God. I was waiting. Like, it was so hard for me to go to sleep last night thinking about talking about fermentation and sprouts with you today.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. So I was chatting, and thank you so much for coming back on. This is so cool because I really actually have a lot to learn from you about fermentation with sprouts because this is all kind of new for me. I have my fermentation set that I ordered from Amazon, and I'm not sure it's exactly the right one, but that's what I've been using. And it's just, there's a lot of people on are really excited to learn to take their sprouts to the next level. So for those of you guys who are meeting Doug for the first time today, and if you guys are already loving him because he's super cool, then you definitely want to check out the replay that we have from our first live together, which really gives us like the 101 on sprouts. It's just a great conversation, something you'll want to take notes on, although we do have like a summary of all our talking points. But Doug is an early pioneer in the natural food industry and is the author of this book that I just held up, that you guys all need to get because it teaches you everything about what we're talking about today and what I was talking about earlier with sprouting. And it's got a bunch of recipes. It's just great. And he to me is just one of the leaders in functional nutrition, even though you may not be a nutritionist, but you just know so much about these sprouts and just in your life. So just everything that you've shared and taught us is incredible. And so grateful for you. So grateful for everything you've done. And other than just talking about sprouts today, Doug is going to teach us how we can ferment them, which is another level of health that our body loves. So, Doug, if you could just give a real quick, like 2-3 minutes background to all the newbies who are meeting you for the first time, like what your background is, how you got here, all about your desert spot, all the things.
Okay, so I feel like I'm like one of the luckiest people alive. So I've gone through hell. I grew up in the streets of New York City. I never went to college, like typical dysfunctional family. And then, you know, at 17, I joined the U.S. Army. So I ate like meals ready to eat in dry packaged things, ran through the woods, jumped out of planes, and, you know, learned a lot of discipline and confidence in the military because they had an expression in the Army, mind over matter. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't mind and you don't matter. Mm-hmm. So they would push you to do things that you didn't want to do. So now, you know, I've learned how to push myself. So when I got out of the Army, I went through this great experience of graphic design and then graphics. And then my aunt died of diabetes. And then my uncle got heart disease. And they chopped off my aunt's feet below the ankles. I thought, like, what was there? And it turned out this was diet related, right? Mm-hmm. Adult onset diabetes, lots of sugar, lots of bread, lots of processed food. And then my mother died of stomach cancer. My father died of heart disease. And my brother had the first of 3 strokes and a heart attack. So I was like having a real wake up moment, maybe at 33 years old, I should get my affairs in order because maybe I was just going to die. And that's when, you know, I got exposed to the plant-based diet. This was 21 years ago, right? I'm 54 years old now. Mm-hmm. And like the world changed for me, right? I went from, you know, I tell this story, like one of my last meals, we were in the streets of Chinatown. And it's raining, right? And it's pouring. And the Chinese restaurant that we went to had a line out the door. And we me and my friend Steven, we were there and we were so hungry and so obsessed with food that we bought the duck out of the window, right? And we didn't even let them chop it up. We just took it and we sat under like a little overhang on wet stairs and we're eating the duck, the skin, chewing on the bone marrow. And like unconscious.
Wow.
And within a 2-week period, I went vegetarian, vegan, raw vegan. Wow. And so I've been, you know, raw vegan most of the last 21 years. I'm back on the raw vegan now exclusively. And okay. I'm feeling great. And that's what led to Sprouts. Mm-hmm. That, you know, after living in New York, LA, and San Francisco, I wanted to change. And I wanted to be able to see sunrises, sunsets. Like last night, we saw like the convergence, like in the most
Saturn and Jupiter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had like a National Geographic photographer staying on our land because we're such a dark part of the sky.
Wait, you have to send me some pictures, Doug. I want to see. I'm in Santa Monica. We're up on the roof, but there's still a lot of light. It's not dark here.
Oh, I will send you pictures. Like Joshua Tree and Wonder Valley have the best. So long story short, when I moved to the desert, I got everything I wanted, except I realized it was a food desert, right? There was no healthy food for me to eat. The nearest vegan restaurant was 90 minutes away. There was no whole food. And so that's what like my survival instinct said, well, what can I do? And then I realized, OMG. Sprouts. And so within 30 days, 50% of my calories were coming from sprouts that I was growing on my own land, in 1 cubic foot of.
Oops, we lost him.
Incredible to be able to have this much food density in a small area. So I was so lit up by that I was, I like maybe my spidey sense was tingling. I was like, am I missing something? So I went out to like Dr. Dean Ornish and Dr. Joel Kahn and Dr. Mark Hyman and Dr. Oz. And like, I've known all these people for my, you know, last two decades. Yeah. So they take my call. And even though like Dr. Axe is keto and Mark Hyman is functional medicine and Dr. Kahn is plant-based, they all loved sprouts. Mm-hmm. Like every single one of them was like an encyclopedia of sprouting information. And so I was like, well, why don't you write the book on sprouts? And they're like, well, no, that's not my thing. Like I'm the functional medicine guy or I'm the keto guy or I'm the, you know, cardio, plant-based cardio guy. So I said, even though I've never written anything in my life, I never went to college. I said, I'm going to write the book on sprouts. Mm-hmm. And so I set up a sprout lab. I started sprouting using jars and trays and canisters. There's a chapter in my book called Junkyard Dog, where we took like anything that was recyclable, like empty packaging containers, colanders, screens, sieves, socks, organic pillowcases, and said, let's just sprout. Let's just sprout everything. So we started to sprout. And the book came out in April. It's now in the 6th printing. It's like unbelievable.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. But if you think about it, it was the worst time to launch a book, right? COVID, no book tour, no book launches, nothing fancy. Everything was just like, okay, I'm going to have to put my mug out there and tell the story and go on podcasts, go on lives. And what happened is it ignited, it sprouted like this global phenomenon where people are realizing that you can sprout your own food, right? So here at the highest level, what people don't know, sprouts are vegetables, right? They're vegetables.
Yeah.
But you can grow them in days, not weeks, months, or years. Mm-hmm. And it costs pennies a serving, not dollars. Like if you buy organic pre-washed greens, they're going to cost $15 a pound.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to grow a pound of sprouts, it'll cost like a dollar.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, literally a whole pound for like a dollar. And these grow, you guys, I showed you earlier, it takes like 2 days, 3 days. Well, these are broccoli sprouts. So they take like about 3 days. But.
Yeah. I mean, you could, and here's the other thing. Like, you can eat them at any stage. You can,
yes.
You can eat them on day one, day two, day three. So a sprout goes through an entire metamorphosis from a dormant seed that looks like a pebble into a flourishing, enzymatically rich, live plant. So
yes.
I talk about, like, if you were to take a lentil, right, and you soak the lentil overnight, mm-hmm. and it starts to sprout, it doubles the antioxidant levels.
Yeah.
It triples the vitamin C and doubles the soluble and insoluble fiber.
Yes.
So like, to me, I couldn't believe why everyone isn't sprouting.
Right, right.
And sprouting is an open system, right? You can buy seeds, you could buy jars, you could just sprout anywhere. So I just wanted to connect the dots.
Yeah.
So if we think about like my diet, right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, my diet works for me, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't tell people what they should do. I try to expose them to what they can do,
right?
But they might want to explore doing just so they could see how they feel, yes. right?
Agreed.
So my diet is fresh, ripe, raw, organic, fruits, vegetables, seeds, nuts, ferments, and sprouts. Mm-hmm. And like fermenting, like, I mean, I prepared some notes, which I rarely do, but I wanted to make sure we didn't miss anything in this.
Yes.
So
yes.
Fermentation is one of the miracles of nature, right? It's just a miracle. And that what happens is that fermentation gives you beneficial microorganisms, mm-hmm. right? So that are very symbiotic with the gut bacteria, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. If you have that. So the beneficial microorganisms are yeast and bacteria and mold are what forms it. And what happens is that unlike a normal growing plant, which is releasing CO2 and consuming oxygen, the fermentation occurs when there is no oxygen. So right. you're eliminating the oxygen and you create this anaerobic environment. Mm-hmm. So that's the essence of fermentation. So if you think about what can be fermented, pretty much every fruit and vegetable can be fermented. And back at the high level, sprouts are vegetables. Like yeah. it's a message, right? Like that goes on my tombstone.
Yeah.
Sprouts equal vegetables.
Yes.
Vegetables equal sprouts.
Yes, yes.
And the awakening, like people are telling me, like I'm getting messages from people around the world saying, have I been living under a rock? How yeah. did I not know about sprouting? And I said, there's no money in sprouts, right? People, there's money in taking corn that's subsidized from the government and then growing a 2,000-pound cow
right.
and then slaughtering it and selling it, et cetera. But right. sprouts have a short shelf life. They're super light that it's no one's going to make money selling right. sprouts, which is why there are no national sprout companies.
Right.
So
right.
I was like, okay, so sprouts are legit.
Yeah.
So
and Doug, I've actually gotten a lot of those same type of messages, you know, after a live, after sharing about it. And people are like, wait, what? How do I not know about sprouts? And, you know, I've gotten so many people to order the seeds, the book, and just when they realize it's so simple and so nutrient dense, it's just like, you got to try it. You haven't tried it yet.
Yeah. Well, look, I think, so this sprouting is easy, and turns out the only thing easier than sprouting is fermenting.
Okay.
It's literally like fermenting, you know, requires you know, a very clean condition, right? You want clean equipment, whether it's washed or sterile, you want clean equipment. Mm-hmm. And then you take, and by the way, because you're dealing with fresh vegetables, you want to wash and prepare the vegetables. You want to use organic vegetables.
Yes.
You want to use organic vegetables, and you want to use high quality water.
Yes. Right?
Because chlorinated water will actually have a antibiotic effect of killing the bacteria, because that's what chlorine does. It kills the bacteria. So, but because we don't want to be exclusive, right? We want to be inclusive. If you only have tap water, mm-hmm. if you let the tap water be exposed to air for mm-hmm. 24 hours, mm-hmm. the chlorine will just dissipate.
Yes, exactly. It's a trick that most people don't know. It's actually, my mom was the one that taught me that trick, because she lets the water sit out for at least 24 hours before she waters the plants to allow that to dissipate.
So you could do that. You could boil the water.
Yeah.
And accelerate it. And this is another little trick. If you've got a Vitamix or a Ninja, you know, or a Nutribullet, you can blend the water.
Mm-hmm.
Just the high speed blending will accelerate the dissipation mm-hmm. of the chlorine.
Yeah.
So you could be inclusive, but if you have a water filter or if you have distilled water, that's really good.
Yeah.
And you want to create a brine, mm-hmm. right? A brine is very simple. It's about 2% salt and 98% water. So you can get a scale, do your calculation, mm-hmm. very simple. And they also, you know, we're in the age of the convenience culture. So you can get fermentation starter kits. You can get packs that are pre-mixed and formatted for you, but you can also do it on your own.
Right.
And then you take the vegetables, you clean them, you pack them in to the jar, and you add the water with the brine mm-hmm. and then let it sit. Mm-hmm. And the nature takes over. Takes over. And the things that are most common, like people are very familiar with sprouting of, you know, fermenting mm-hmm. Pickles and fermenting cabbage to mm-hmm. make sauerkraut.
Right.
And there's so much more. And, you know, you could ferment peppers and tomatoes. And so once you have a good brine going,
mm-hmm.
you can start dropping your sprouts into it, right? Mm-hmm. And what happens is, since, you know, and I grew up thinking sprouts were a garnish, right? And mung beans and alfalfa sprouts. Like, that's mm-hmm. what I thought about. And then occasionally sunflower sprouts. Mm-hmm. But the reality is everything is sproutable.
Yeah. So
every lentil, every azuki, chia, flax, radish, clover, cauliflower, you know, broccoli.
And yes, there's
so many varieties, but by adding them into the fermenting, right, you're actually breaking them down and unleashing even more vitamins. So mm-hmm. you're taking this in, you're unpacking it. And what happens is so much intelligence is in our gut bacteria, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, in the convenience culture today, people are taking, you know, prebiotics and probiotics. Well, it turns out sprouts are an incredible prebiotic mm-hmm. because the soluble and insoluble fiber help feed the gut microbiome.
Yep.
And that is a prebiotic, mm-hmm. right? If you're taking the sprouts and you're fermenting them, you're getting the probiotics. Mm-hmm. So those living organisms are forming the probiotic cultures that help with the digestion, with help bacteria. I mean, there, you could literally write books even today, any one of your, you know, 965 people that are watching this live, any one of them today, within 1 month to become a sprouting expert and a fermentation expert, and they could change their diet and their life.
Oh, it'll change your life. Absolutely. And in less than even a month, you could be an expert if you did this. Like, and I would say in like 2 weeks, well, not an expert like you, Doug, but like an expert within, you know, your own lifestyle in your home and on the different ways you can sprout, just experiment. So there's a couple people that asked questions, and I definitely want to get back to them before you continue on. Someone was saying, how do you rinse the seeds without losing them? And if you look right here, just get something like this. And that, I think that was Kitty Catch. You can get them on Amazon anywhere. It's just a little screen. So it just makes it really easy. And then it can just drain upside down like this if you decide to get a container like this.
Right.
So that's something super simple.
It can do just to really be open and inclusive. You know, you're using, you know, that's a beautiful, almost looks like a vintage ball mason jar. So you can use.
It's recycled. It's from, I think it's from like Erewhon, but I mean, it's, yeah, we have a lot of these jars. They are standard mouth size.
Every time, like I used to never go to antique, you know, yard sales or other things. Now I go just to collect mason jars.
Oh, for all your sprouting. At some point, I don't know, you know, if your kitchen's ready, but we would love to see, you know, we should do a tour of your farm one day, like. Maybe like in a month, we check in with these 900 people to see how their sprouting is going.
I think that would be great. I'm very open, you know, to doing that. But let's go back. So the other thing on the sprouting is you can take any vessel. I prefer glass, but it could be any vessel. It could be stainless steel. It could be your blender, you know, canister, your Vitamix part, your, you know, any cup. Mm-hmm. And then you can take cheesecloth, which is super inexpensive, and a rubber band, and that's what you use to strain. So, and it's also pretty nice because the cheesecloth will create a little bit more moisture, so mm-hmm. it'll hold them in. And if you don't have a jar in and of itself, you can actually take the seeds, put them into the cheesecloth, just tie a knot in it, and just keep dipping it in the water twice a day, and they'll just blossom.
Like, I mean, that's even easier.
Yeah. So seeds want to sprout, mm-hmm. right? The same way, right? Serena wants to share her love, right? Like that's all you are. You are just a love bug. You want to share your love, right? The seeds want to sprout. Like they want to sprout. They want to get to the next level. Mm-hmm. And that's where, like, people are always asking me, do you need soil? Do you need sunshine? Mm-hmm. And the magic is the seeds themselves contain everything that they need to go from a dormant living organism into a living vegetable that you can eat raw.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I was sharing with people right before you came on that I had sent you pictures. I was growing them in my hotel room when I was traveling. A couple months ago, you don't even need the sunlight. You need so little to grow these seeds because of what Doug said. They want to sprout. They want to grow. They just need a little bit of water.
Oh my God. I have a friend who lives in a van, right? He lives in like a van. He's like a CrossFit guy. He's like set up that van so he can hang off of it and work out, etc. And when he stayed with me, you know, I gave him my book, right? And now, him and his partner drive around and they're sprouting the whole time while they're in the van.
I love that. Like
a moving sprout lab, and they're sharing sprouts and the message, you know, of sprouting.
Yes.
And so I think that the time is really powerful. Yes. So the other thing is, if you were to take a little spray bottle, like the little misting bottle, mm-hmm. you can take the seeds, just put them on that cheesecloth, or even like an unbleached, like the brown seventh generation unbleached paper towels, and just mist them two or three times a day, and they will grow.
You mean you can literally just spread the seeds on a paper towel and they'll grow just like that? Wow.
The seeds want to grow. Like, it's harder to stop them from growing if they're in the environment where there's some love involved, and the yes. love is attention, right? You got to yes. give them attention. And then water, right? And there's a wide range of temperature. Like, I'm in the desert, which is mm-hmm. cool at night and hot in the day, mm-hmm. and things are all growing, you know, in there very effectively. So back to on the fermentation, right? So there's two main fermentations that I like. One is the acidic fermentation, mm-hmm. which is like the, you know, apple cider vinegar, acidic mm-hmm. fermentation. And the other is like the lactobacillus fermentation. Yes. Mm-hmm. And what these things have in common is that they're alive, right? Mm-hmm. So if we look at the world, right, and you know my mantra, everything I put in my mouth is a life or death decision, right? So mm-hmm. I look at something and I say, is this worthy, you know, of my consumption, right? Is this something that I would share with Chef Serena, right? Yeah. So one of the things that you look at it, and so I'm looking for things that are alive, mm-hmm. right? I want to know, like, the provenance of where these things came from. And so you can look at, you know, a fruit or vegetable, mm-hmm. and you can say, is this ripe? Is this rotten? Right? You can really tell on almost any vegetable. Like, you pick up a carrot and it's limp, you know, it's going sideways, mm-hmm. right? You can pick up celery. You can look at lettuce leaves or anything. You can see. And we're so tuned, like, to the touch, yeah. right? Use your eyes. You can use your touch. Is it crispy? Is it strong? Or is it wilted? And then you can use your smell. And these are the safest ways. Before you put something in your mouth, you want to look at it. You want to smell it. You want to feel it. But if something is dead, right? Someone posted something on Instagram where they showed, you know, a burger, bun, and French fries, and it was a year old, and it didn't even form any mold. It looked
what?
I mean, you almost couldn't even tell the difference between that the fresh one and the year old one.
What? That's gross.
Because well, all the processing and all the preservatives, like, that's cute. So when I think about preservation, right, we could talk about this. I don't want to go too much awry into freezing. Mm-hmm. But in my world, freezing is a great source of natural preservation. So yeah. the freezer, the refrigerator help preserve the food. Right? Mm-hmm. That cold climate slows down the growth, yes. right? Freezing mm-hmm. doesn't stop it because the food is still alive.
Yes.
And on the other side, other forms of preservation are freeze drying, mm-hmm. right? Or dehydration.
Yes.
And so sun dried, like, I was living in India and I was, you know, being raw and I wanted to make flax crackers. And I didn't have my dehydrator. And then bing, bing, nature came off. So I took my flax seeds and my chia and my tomatoes. And I made sun-dried tomatoes. I mixed them in with the flax and the chia. And I put them on my roof.
Uh-huh. And
flax crackers in one day by just be exposed to sun drying.
Yeah. Amazing. The best way. Yeah.
And then the third form of preservation is fermentation,
mm-hmm.
right? And mm-hmm. ferments can last a really long time. You have to be careful when you're fermenting because, like, the energy of nature can cause things to build up gases mm-hmm. and part. So there's so many good books on mm-hmm. fermentation, you know, from, like, Sandor Katz, you know, wild fermentation. There's mm-hmm. You can just Google it, go onto Amazon. There's great books on fermentation. Mm-hmm. But it's so easy. If you just think about, you need water and you need salt, you need a vessel and you need your vegetables and cabbage. And you're a chef and you know this. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get a big ball of red, you know, cabbage, which has The red is the antioxidant,
anthocyanin,
which is very powerful. Mm-hmm. And the green cabbage has the chlorophyll. Mm-hmm. But it's like a big organic piece of cabbage is like 99 cents.
It's
so prolific. Mm-hmm. And when you start to ferment, this is, by the way, this is just, and very interesting here, what we did in this one.
Uh-huh.
This is a head of cabbage,
mm-hmm,
with using the water from the cabbage itself. So
okay,
just added a little, rinsed it off.
Yeah.
Added a little bit of the salt.
Yeah.
Right. And then crushed it. So I don't know if you can see this here, but there's like a spring inside.
Oh, yeah, I do see the spring.
So the spring here, the spring. And the spring holds it down and submerged. Mm-hmm. And just over time, the water, natural water, is coming out. Mm-hmm. The water molecules are being separated from the cytoplasm of the fiber.
Yes.
They're aging in the bacteria.
Yes.
And
yes,
it's going through the fermentation. And like, what's easier? Take a head of cabbage, take some salt and some water, and you get fermented foods. And this living food, when you ferment, you're unleashing all these other vitamins and you're getting shelf stable. So one of the things out in the desert is avoiding using refrigeration, right? Mm-hmm. So everything that we can do, we want to be, you know, out there. So I'm now advising someone on sprouting in the South Pacific, mm-hmm, right? So mm-hmm, one of the things is, if you dig a hole two or 3 feet deep, like one meter deep,
mm-hmm,
the air temperature, even if it's 100 degrees up here, below there, you know, drops to 68 degrees. You can just take, you know, like so many things you could do just with the earth, right? Mm-hmm. So caves and shade, like, you know, when you're in Sedona and it's in the sun, it's hot, you go into the shade, temperature drops, you go below earth level, mm-hmm, it goes even further.
Yeah. But
you can take like an organic pillowcase,
mm-hmm,
fill it with a couple pounds of seeds, run it, soak it in water, run a stick through it and hang it into the earth. And the strange thing is, the insects won't go near it.
Wow.
But the seeds themselves have anti-nutrients on them. The interior shell. And that leads into a whole other thing to talk about.
Yeah.
Sprout, or when you ferment, you remove the phytic acid and the anti-nutrient to make things more bioavailable.
Yes. Yes, which is something that I've talked about before, and you know, we didn't even highlight it here. I'm so glad you brought it up. Someone had actually just made a comment, well, not just, it was several comments back, but about how they get gnats when they're sprouting, and if you've experienced that and what you do about it. So I thought that was an interesting question, because I know that can happen. It happened with us once, but that was kind of it. And I don't even know if it's from the sprouts. I kind of think it's from other plants that we had brought in from outdoors.
So what was your specific question, Serena?
So the question that someone had asked was, do you get little gnats when you're sprouting? And if so, how do you deal with them?
So I think that the gnats rarely are attracted. The gnats are attracted to sugar. They're almost like sugar flies, mm-hmm, right? And the sprouts what they are attracted to is, if in the environment, that you're starting to get mold, and if you're sprouting with soil, mm-hmm, then, you know, they will start to nest. Mm-hmm. If you do get gnats and you're sprouting in a jar, what I would say is rinse them twice, put them into a salad spinner,
mm-hmm,
remove all the excess water and put it in the refrigerator,
mm-hmm,
right? And then whatever gnats are like, you know, gnats and fruit flies have a very short lifespan, and let them go away.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then you can go back, because they don't do well if you're washing them and rinsing, and they don't do well in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. So they want like the heat and the climate, you know, mm-hmm. create them. But it's very interesting that if you're starting with organic seeds mm-hmm. that have been tested for pathogens, mm-hmm. right? And you're using distilled water or spring water or filtered water, right? Where are the fruit flies going to come from? They're right. not the seed.
It's probably in your external environment, you know, maybe like another plant that you have in the house or something like that.
Yeah, they're curious. Mm-hmm. I mean, nature is very curious. So mm-hmm. they're like, what is that going on there? Mm-hmm. Right? So
yeah.
you want to keep this, you know, environment very, very powerful. So,
yeah, and I'm glad you answered that question because I did get a lot of questions before you came on, just to my DMs and to my texts, that people had tried it. Some people had tried it right after our last live, but they were having issues with mold, or they thought it was mold because sometimes, you know, the little hairs, it's not mold, you guys. So, you know, so I thought I'd let you talk about that because I had so many messages about that, like thinking that they weren't doing it right.
Yeah. So it's very interesting, right? Mm-hmm. We live in a world that is not binary, right? Mm-hmm. It's not black and white. So there is a fine line between root hairs and mold.
Yeah.
And I made two posts, and this was probably 3 months ago, mm-hmm. of one incredibly healthy sprouts mm-hmm. that I was experimenting with how I was sprouting them, where I was misting them.
Okay.
As I was misting them, there's roots and then there's hairs that grow out of the roots. Mm-hmm. And the root hairs are white and fuzzy.
Yeah.
The root hairs were basically looking to get rooted. They were looking for the soil. They were looking for water so they continue to grow and they look fluffy. Mm-hmm. And so the remedy for root hairs is to actually give them water, right? Mm-hmm. So you give them water and the root hairs flatten out. They go back on the roots. The plants, the sprouts are well nourished, well hydrated, and the root hairs go away. Mm-hmm. If there's too much water, right, or too little water, there's a thing that happens where the roots actually become weak mm-hmm. and the sprouts become weak mm-hmm. and then mold can set in. Mm-hmm. And then the mold, the difference between like the root hairs and the mold mm-hmm. is if you're looking at root hairs, they will look like it would almost look like a 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, right? They look fuzzy like hair, yeah.
They look fuzzy like hair. Mold starts to go crisscross and looks like cotton candy. Mm. So the cotton candy, not good. That's mold. Mm-hmm. The root hairs are visible hairs going out and like a fuzz. So mm-hmm. almost like if you think about a snow cone or a Christmas tree where the hairs are going out like a pine tree. Mm-hmm. So that's the big part, but I referenced that and I put two other pictures. The other thing that's an indication of mold is when it's not white, when it starts to turn brown, mm-hmm. right? And the brownness is basically the breaking down of the sprout in a compromised situation. And that's the, it appears like it's over-oxidized,
right? But
actually the precursor to mold kicking in.
Right.
But these are things. And the other thing is, if they smell, like they can have a strong pungent smell. Mm-hmm. But if that pungent becomes repulsive, mm-hmm. it's not good. Like you do not want to consume things that are repulsive.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm so glad you gave that explanation, Doug, because so many people did message and they didn't know the difference. So you guys, it either looks like hair, fuzzy hair, those are the roots, or if it looks like cotton candy, that's no good. And so you see white cotton candy, brownish things on your sprouts, that's probably mold. And just, it's no big deal to start over. It's an easy process to learn. Just give it a few tries. Yes, yeah. He is a church full of information. I agree. Doug is our church of information. And we're not even done talking about fermentation yet. He still probably got some notes to share.
Yeah, I got some other things I want to share.
Yeah.
One of the things that you can ferment where that's really good is onion and garlic.
Yes, so good.
Because when you ferment the onion and garlic, you're making them more bioavailable and you're keeping the good bacteria. And garlic is a natural antibiotic, right? So by fermenting that, it makes it much more available, less intense, and something that you can add. So if I look at my day, one of the things that I want to do is I want to make sure I'm well hydrated.
Yes, number one.
Water. And so I have a very small feeding window. So my feeding window is 12 noon to 6 p.m. is when I eat. Those are my feeding windows. So I'm drinking a lot of water, right? And now I'm meditating 4 times a day.
Mm, I love that.
It's so helpful to me because I know that my best decisions are made with a quiet, calm mind.
Yeah.
So everyone. I used to think I could make good decisions just boom, boom, boom. And now I realize the calm mind allows me to look at things with perspective and non-judgment and openness, because there's so many things that are going on right now that I used to have very strong opinions on. And now, I just don't know. So my favorite things, people are asking me about all these different things that are going on, in culture and society. And I'm saying, I don't know. I know about sprouts. I know about meditation. I know about good quality sleep. Yeah. I know about bathing and spending time in water, whether you're in the ocean. How blessed are we in America that, I would have to guess that every person who's listening to this live, watching this live, has access to a shower or a bath.
Yes. Right?
Where they can have water molecules surrounding their body and they can be soaking and floating and just immersed in nature. And they can even control the temperature, whether it's hot or cold, which leads to another thing, those cold showers, right? Cold baths, cold showers are so powerful to stimulate the immune system, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, little stress, little shocks of stress. We talked about it in a lot of different lives. It's like why you're doing intermittent fasting and cold plunging. This is all great to stimulate the immune system.
So the meditation, meditation for me is really, really hard. It's hard. I'm very comfortable talking to you. I'm comfortable being on the phone. I'm comfortable with doing things.
Yeah.
Being able to shut down, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things, my latest thing is not only put your phone in airplane mode, turn the phone off at night. Mm-hmm. Turn the phone off at night. And two things happen. One, you will preserve the life of your phone if it's off for one third of the time, right? If it's physically off. And then secondly, you're not having the EMF in your house and you're not having any temptation to be disturbed by who's going to message you, what this, because it's hard. So what I do now is I set an alarm to tell me what time to go to sleep.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. So the alarm goes off, boom, phone goes off. Mm-hmm. And then, I go into my mode of being in nature.
Yeah.
Being in nature and not reacting, just observing. And
I love that. That's something that, I've talked about it to my audience before, different lives and just in my content, that, observing and being present, and just being able to look at everything from a place of neutrality is kind of one of the things that you want to strive for throughout the day, and throughout your journey, everything that you're talking about, Deb, just being able to be neutral, having no judgment, just being and being present, it's incredibly powerful.
Yeah. And something else, which I think is really, like, I encourage everybody to go to the animal shelters, right? Yes. I prefer, like, farm sanctuaries. Mm-hmm. So you can see, like, the joy and the fun of mm-hmm. the rescued horses, the cows, the llamas, mm-hmm. the potbelly pigs, just running around mm-hmm. with freedom. Like, mm-hmm. I love that. But even you go into the dog shelter, right? Yeah. And just giving some love.
Yes.
And looking them in the eyes mm-hmm. and just making that connection mm-hmm. without trying to figure out, like, why are they here? Why are you here? Just connecting with other living souls mm-hmm. that aren't trying to sell you anything, mm-hmm. right? They're just being.
Yeah, that's why, like, our little fur babies, they're the best. I already told you, I think I was telling the audience before you came on, that we've been giving Gizmo broccoli sprout seeds. You know, we soak them and then we actually let them dry out and we sprinkle them on the food, especially when he's not feeling well and he doesn't want to eat anything. He'll have a little bit of nut butter with the broccoli sprout seeds, and they're so great for him. He loves them. It's almost like his vitamin.
Does he go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, or does he sleep through the night?
No, he sleeps through the night. We take them to make sure that they go before they go to bed, and then they don't go again until the morning.
So. Yeah, it's interesting because I was reading, mm-hmm. or actually one of my friends sent me the notes. I was reading his note, but I don't have the primary research, that spirulina mm-hmm. at night will help absorb and make you more of a hydrating you through the night and mm-hmm. likely to have to get up, you know, in the middle of the night to urinate. So I've been experimenting because, mm-hmm. you know, the spirulina and chlorella are rich mm-hmm. forms of greens and protein. So, and they taste good. So I think, like, one of my favorite, like, little meals mm-hmm. is homemade, right, sauerkraut.
Yeah.
Avocado mm-hmm. and spirulina. And spirulina, and you get this really deep green, like, paste and part, and it's incredible. And the avocado good fat
mm-hmm. so every day, so
these are things that people can do. And mm-hmm. the other thing that I just want to, like, in our last few minutes of talking about mm-hmm. is the idea that if you're hungry, right?
Right.
You will eat anything healthy.
Yes.
If you're not hungry, you will eat anything that's not healthy. Mm-hmm. Right? So if you're not hungry and someone offers you something that's sweet or that's salt or that's fatty and you can taste it, you'll eat things when you're not hungry. So one of the things about eating the way I've been eating now mm-hmm. is that I'm eating less. Because I'm eating the things that I know are good for me and that I'll eat them beyond the taste. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, you cannot overeat raw sprouts.
Right. Like, no, there's no overeating. And right. you're eating such high quality, nutrient dense foods. So you don't need to consume a lot of it because you're getting so much energy. You're getting all the vitamin and minerals that you need. You were talking about fermenting the garlic and the onions. I just want to remind people that those are also prebiotics, natural prebiotics. And so, and when you ferment them, they become probiotics as well. And so, you know, you're getting such high quality nutrient dense foods in your body. You don't need a ton of it. You know, your body's fed and energized from it. Are you still there? You're frozen. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So look, I think the thing, if we can think about, people ask, one of the questions I get is, like, when should I eat sprouts?
Yes, there was a couple questions that asked that as well.
So I would say breakfast, lunch, dinner. Mm-hmm. You can add them to having them a snack by themselves. Like, you know that you are a healthy individual if you can eat raw sprouts by yourself.
Right? Oh, yeah. They're so good. I mean, I know I'm a sprout nerd with you, but like, I love sprouts, and I think you can just—I just pick them, and they're so good. You guys can put them in on everything, in anything. So good, and just the seeds too. I mean, I sprinkle it on my nut butter. Like, it's good in everything, and you can eat them at any stage, as Doug said. So, you know, you don't have to wait 3 days or 4 days until they're fully sprouted. You can eat them after day one. So.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk about the four reasons, like, why I love sprouts.
Okay.
Number one, they are the ultimate survival food, mm-hmm. right? And you can buy your seeds. I'm just gonna take the phone for a second. This is a 35-pound bucket.
Yes. Right? And I use the same brand, Handy Pantry.
Handy Pantry.
And love their seeds.
So you can buy seeds in bulk, and they last for a really long time. So they're the ultimate survival food. Mm-hmm. Number two, they're the ultimate vegetable. Sprouts are the ultimate vegetable. Sprouts equal vegetable. Okay. Number three, they are the ultimate multivitamin nutrient supplement. Right.
Yes.
So the idea of taking a supplement, multivitamin, that's synthetic and processed with fillers and who knows what's in it, when you can get all of your supplementation from sprouts is incredible. So I look at sprouts as survival food, mm-hmm. regular food, and supplementation. And then the fourth, which is we can have a whole separate section, and maybe we can bring on, you know, one of the real scientists like Dr. Jed Fahey at Johns Hopkins. But like, sprouts are medicine, right? There's so much research about the cruciferous vegetables are known to have like these anti-cancer chemoprotective properties.
Yep.
Well, the sprouts have an exponent of those properties of the mature vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're looking at that, some of the research about sprouting as the medicine for autism, that glucuronolactone, when it connects with the myrosinase, heat shock. So I now have been contacting in touch with mothers all over that are now figuring out how they can give broccoli sprouts to their boys and girls with autism.
Yes, it's wonderful.
In the family, the dementia and Alzheimer's research on there. Mm-hmm. And then the anti-cancer properties of who would believe that broccoli sprouts can kill cancer cells?
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, why isn't this the front page news?
I know. It's crazy. I mean, I currently have a couple clients that have cancer right now. And the first thing I said was, we need to get you on broccoli sprouts. And this needs to be part of your daily regimen every single day. I mean, you're right. It should be on the front page of everything. But we're sharing the knowledge here, so I'm so grateful to you for what you're doing. And you know, I had a couple people say, save this. They're always saved, you guys. We always save. I know there's so much information here, and you guys for sure have to go check out my first live with Doug, because we really kind of dove into the science a little bit more, like what you're talking about right now, Doug. Remember, we talked about it even more in the first live. You guys go watch it and take notes, because he's such a wealth of information. And we always clean up all the replays with the recordings. We post them as replays. You can find them on YouTube now as well. Wow. So before it was just on Facebook, but now we put them on YouTube. They're on Facebook. They'll eventually go up on Apple Podcasts. They're going up on the IG Live, IGTV. So, you know, you can find them everywhere. And, you know, before we jump off, because I jumped on a couple of minutes early, Doug, I was wondering, I did this with Dr. Uma yesterday. I had thought about it like right before I'd gone on with her, but I feel like it's a great idea. If people are watching and they want a screenshot and either, you know, tag you or me, or if they're private, they can send us private DMs. You know, maybe we could give away a book to somebody and get them started.
If you choose who to send a book, I would be more than delighted to send a book. As a matter of fact, I'll send two books.
Amazing. Okay, you guys.
You can run, you know, who gets them, and just DM me the address, and I'm happy to send a couple books out.
Okay, yay, that's wonderful, you guys. So screenshot this, you know, and either post it and tag me, tag Doug, or if you're a private account and your stuff is invisible, then send a DM to us, and then we'll pick a couple winners to get a free book, and you can get started on this beautiful Sprout journey. So thank you, Doug, for doing that. I should do this with a lot of my guests because people love you guys. And they learn so much, and it's amazing when you have something like this, which is like, this is your Sprout Bible, you guys. You need one of these. If you're a winner or not, go and pick one up. Amazon, right, Doug?
Amazon, local bookstores, all over.